Romans chapter 6. We just read through, and I'll take you through a teaching session. The purpose of teaching, a teacher explains. The purpose of teaching is to bring you to understanding. Psalm 119 verse 1, he said, the entrance of your word, it gives what? Light and understanding. Then many times you may be in a, you may go to a church, listen to the word of God, but you are not understanding. And the Bible says that it's like the parable of the sower that sowed his seed on the wayside. Yeah? On the footpath. Then the birds came and they ate the seeds. So Jesus interpreted this parable. He says it's like someone who hears the word of God but does not understand it. Then Satan is there, the Bible comes and steals away what he has heard. It will produce no fruit. Why? Because it did not even understand it. So this is why we go to teaching, to help you understand. Not just to hear, but to understand. Because when you understand, now you can run with it. Amen. See, I give myself to understand. Not just to hear, but to understand the word of God. So Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 14. Let's have 10 to 14 first. A youth. And then we do 10 to 13, a youth. Then we do 14 to 18, an adult. So a youth who's ready? Yes. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 14. If you just read it from, which version do you have? Yes, go for it. Go for it. Whatever you have, I'll take it. New Living or New King James? Ephesians 6, 10 to 13. Please follow your Bible. It's reading from New Living Translation, NLT.
The final words. Be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm.
Amen. It says that we should be strong. Amen. Have you ever met someone who was going through a hard time and said, you tapped them on the shoulder and said, be strong. Amen. But that's not what he's saying there. This is not a strength of pulling yourselves together. Mm-mm. He said, be strong in the Lord. That strength we're talking about is the one in the Lord. You are being strong in the Lord by connecting with that strength. It's not your strength. Your strength is not enough to carry you through all things. Yes, your strength can carry you to some things. Until you meet something that is bigger than you. Then you know you need God. Normally when I'm praying, yeah, I pray like that. I say, Lord, without you, I'm nothing. I just recognize it. Yeah, in all my best strength, in all my best smartness, in all my best skills, no matter how savvy you are, you can be very savvy. But without God, you are what? You are nothing. It just needs to take just a tiny micro thing off you. And you just fall like a pack of cards. Yeah? It is He. It says your breath in our lungs. Imagine if there was no breath. What would all your skills matter? What would all your decoration and beauty matter if there's no breath? It falls apart. Yeah? He is your strength. He is your rock. Yeah? And when he's saying be strong, he said, recognize it and connect to it. Recognize that your strength is where? In the Lord. And actively connect to it daily. Do you know why? You need it. Say, I need strength from the Lord. Now, he gives us the reason. The reason is this. Imagine that you are, who can you be now? Boxer. Who is the strong boxer around? That's strong, good boxer. Yeah? Sorry?
Floyd,
something with that, yes? Sorry? Yes? Any other person? Anthony Joshua? You know? And you're going to face, like, a weak opponent. You're the world champion. And you just have a boxer who is just starting. Yeah? Will you worry much? You are the champion. Yeah? This is just, you know, a rookie, an amateur boxer. Yeah? And you are Anthony Joshua or Floyd. Your other names, yeah? You won't bother. I have the strength. Yeah? I don't even need to train. He's just a small boy. Yeah? Are you with me? So if that's what you are facing in your life, where you are a genius, you know you can use your brain. That's why you are very strong, you are very skilled. You are very skilled about farming. Like Eden, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. You know, you can we can undo that. Yeah? We've done that before. We can sort that. Yeah? But it's telling you that the forces you are facing, they are not what? Flesh and blood. They may present through flesh and blood. Sometimes you are facing some difficulty or opposition in somebody in your life. But it's not just them. There are powers behind what they're doing that you don't know. Are you with me? In this world we are living in, there are powers of darkness. You just read the Bible. Yeah? He said you're not contending flesh and blood. Though problems may come through flesh and blood. Yeah? And look at the country, and we've been talking about the cost of living, whatever. It's not just physical. There are spiritual forces. When nations go to war, it's not just physical. There's a battle, not just in the physical, but also what? In the spiritual. Are you with me? That's why your strength is not enough. Praise the Lord. Someone say, if I can just be very nice, very tidy, you know, I can keep my husband. But you may do everything and not keep them. You need the one, but you need physical, but you also need more than physical. Because the forces that are contending against you, or against your marriage, or against your health, or against your progress, are not just physical. They can't be physical. But you need to understand that people don't just behave, you know, anyhow, just because they're influence. These forces, they are seeking what? To influence what's happening. The devil doesn't like anything good. Have you found anything, any good thing that the devil likes? Anybody? He likes to propagate what? Evil. Because that's why he's called what? The devil. Praise God. In our nation today, not just UK, in the world, because of the times we are in, the forces of darkness, they are out. And I will explain them to you. There are many, but there are three of them. You know, like in the Holy Trinity, we have the Father. Yeah? God the Father, Jehovah. And we have God the, and then God the Holy Spirit. There are three personalities. But they're in perfect harmony, perfect unity. There's nothing between them. Amen? And they're working together. Yeah? And under them, we have holy angels who are their messengers sent to minister to us. Yeah? They're working. Sometimes you may be in a difficulty and something shows up or someone to help you. You may not know. You might have encountered an angel. You may never know. You may never know. The different way where you had a close shave and you were delivered, you may not know that God has sent his angel to help you. But so also, in darkness, there are many of them, but they have three commanders. Now, you usually know just one of them. Now, who do you know? Who is the chief commander of darkness? Come and tell me, you know his name? What? Sorry, I can't hear you. Satan! Boy, he has some assistant. Amen? And I'll show you from the Bible. We need to define, these are the forces. And they are evil spirits. They are there to promote evil in this world. They are there to corrupt what is good. They are there to bring confusion. Amen? Open your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Yes, if you have it, anyone? I'm happy for you to read 1 Peter chapter 5. There will be a part 2 of this message. It's not something I can finish in one day. One summer. Yes, 1 Peter 5, 8. I just give you the mic. Which version are you having? New King James, thank you. 1 Peter 5, 8. Please follow in your Bible. Engage with it.
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour.
Amen. Who is your adversary? Okay, please help me. What is the meaning of the word adversary? Let's find someone else. Adversary. If you're not sure, check Google. What's the meaning of the word adversary? You say someone is your adversary. Yes. What does that mean? That's to say someone is your adversary. Yes. Come on.
Does it mean your enemy?
Your enemy, yes. I'll take it. More? More? Yeah?
Great enemy.
Great enemy. I'll take it. Any other one? I agree. I just think for breath. Yes, more words for your adversary. Your what? Challenger. I take it. Yes, I take it. Yes, it's good.
Opposition.
Huh? Opposition. It's not, you see, your enemy can be in one corner, yeah, just not liking you. Some may not like you, but they may mind their business. But anytime they show up, they don't like you. They don't want to see you, but they may not be actively opposing you. Your adversary, yeah, is your active challenger. Yeah? You left your adversary. You went to hide in a corner. Your adversary comes to look for you in that corner. Yeah? Maybe you're living in, where could they have been living? Zambia. I'm just joking. Yeah? Then you left Zambia and you came to UK. If it's an adversary, he's also on his way. So your adversary, yeah, is your opposition, your challenger. And the Bible says that, who is your adversary? Let's assume that you're the best, nicest person on earth. You don't have any enemies. You know, if you're not a leader, you will not be creating as much enemies. Anytime you make up your mind that you're going somewhere and you mean business, you have enemies. Because there are those who will not believe, then there are those who will actively oppose. Yeah? Anytime you want to make a change, you must make enemies. It's okay. Just don't make too much. Don't make unnecessary enemies. You know? Don't make enemies out of your friends. Unnecessarily. But it's part of it. Jesus had enemies. The Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, the people that were going to church in his days were his enemies. Because he was telling them what? The truth. But we're not talking about that. You were minding your business. Yeah? You're a good person. You're not looking for trouble. But Satan is still what? Your adversary. You can never appease Satan. Try. He may give you a short break, but he's coming. Because it's his nature. The official ministry of Satan is what? The adversary. Even that is recognizing error. Amen? So that's why we are in warfare. Why are we in warfare? Because we have what? An adversary. Why are you in warfare? You're not looking for trouble. But trouble is looking for you. Yeah. So you can't just hold your hands and let the thief take over your house. Amen? You have to guard. If something is important to you, you have to what? You have to guard it. Amen? You have to guard it. You are in warfare. You are in spiritual warfare, whether you know it or not. Yeah? And what will happen in your future is a product of what you are doing with the warfare now. Of course, we're going to talk about the weapons. We have weapons to fight. But they are not physical weapons. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that physical weapons cannot solve physical problems. They can. Hello? If, what could be entering your, trying to get you into your house? A squirrel? A rat? Yeah? Maybe there's a hole under your door. Or through your door. Yeah? If you call a good carpenter and they mend it, you will solve that problem. The rat will not, or rodent will not get in. Does it make sense? Physical weapons can solve physical problems. But physical weapons cannot solve spiritual problems. So if you say physical weapons cannot solve spiritual problems. To solve spiritual problems, what do you need? You need spiritual weapons. And let me tell you, there's also good news too. The good news is that because the spiritual is higher than the physical, the spiritual actually controls the physical. So spiritual weapons can also solve not only spiritual problems, but also physical problems. Amen? Hallelujah. Everything you see came from the Spirit. So when you get power in the Spirit, you can overcome both the spiritual and the soul realm and the physical realm. Hallelujah. So let me ask you some questions. Just to understand what we're saying. There are four hierarchies in the forces of darkness. In your Bible, Ephesians 6. Open up Ephesians 6. We're talking about the forces of darkness. Ephesians 6. What are they? It describes them. There are four groups of them. Or I'll call them, they're not just groups, they're hierarchies. Are you still with me, Maddy? Ephesians 6, from verse 10 to 13. Look at it. There are four groups of forces of darkness. But they are not groups, they are hierarchies. Yes? Anybody? Can you listen something to me? Am I saying the right thing? Is it there? No. Or is it later? Let me check. Ephesians chapter 6. You are looking at verse 10. Yes. Ephesians 6. From verse 10 to 13. Yes, there are four. So can you just name them for me? Just say one. Anybody? Ready? Anybody? Just one. Who are they? You want to identify them?
Evil rulers.
They are evil rulers. Is that all it says? Does it say
evil
more?
Evil rulers and authorities of the unforeseen world.
Evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. Yes, any other one? Yes. Yes, but you say we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Then he lists four. Check it. Check the two. So, yeah. Well, I'll tell you where flesh and blood comes in. Mighty powers. Yes. Any other one? Anybody? What's the first one there? If you're looking New King James, Ephesians 6. The first thing you're wrestling against. Let me show you. Let me tell you which verse. Ephesians 6. You are looking at verse 12. Which is number one. Force of darkness you will face in your life? Principalities. Principalities. They are what? They are principalities. And then they are powers. You are going higher. Then they are rulers of darkness of this world. And then they are what? There is spiritual wickedness in the heavenly. This going higher. So it's like you're on earth. The first thing you contend with on earth is what? Principalities. I can almost say that they are demons. There's nothing between demons and fallen angels. The lower hierarchy is demons. You contend with, they are on earth. They are not in the heavens. They are here. Every day, yeah, they are trying to influence you one way or the other. And every time they are walking, they are promoting evil. They are promoting idolatry. They are promoting immorality. They are promoting oppression. They are promoting depression. They are promoting sickness. They are promoting disease. They are promoting confusion. They are promoting disharmony, disorder. They are there. Yeah? Then you go higher. They are powers. Those are their commanders. You are going, by the way, physically you are going higher. Like, principalities are on the air. And somewhere above, towards the sky, in the atmosphere, powers. When you go higher. Spirit, rulers of the darkness of this. You see, they have a bigger scope. They are commanding those minions under them. And finally, you have these ones that are operating in space. They are called spiritual wickedness in the heavenly. The heavenly place is space. Those ones, they are, and as going higher, they are fewer. It's hierarchy. Amen? But firstly, I think the first way to start from is to know how to deal with what? Principalities. Don't try to start dealing with spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. When you have not dealt with the principality in your life, Amen. Praise the Lord. So I was just going to talk about the force of darkness. We'll go back to then understand how we can deal with them. Why I need to just do this to understand that they are real. So we talk about the satanic trinity. Of course, their chairman is who? It's Satan. Satan is a fallen angel. You know that? It's called Lucifer. He was not created as Satan. Yeah? He was created beautiful. In fact, he was the most beautiful being ever. He said, you are the sum of beauty, full of wisdom. That means there's nothing God created that was more beautiful than Lucifer. Yeah? But he became proud. He thought, I'm cool, I'm good, great. But you did not make yourself. You see, you may be nice, you may be cool, you may be beautiful, you may be excellent. But remember that you did not make it. That's why you have to submit to him. All your beauty and your glory means nothing without God. Because you did not make it. At best, you are borrowing it. You are not the owner. So sometimes when we recognize ownership, your life can go in the right direction. Say, God is the owner of every good thing that I am or that I have. If you can just recognize that. You know, when you recognize that, you know what it makes you? Humble. I always tell someone, I say, look, if I walk in humility, you will not miss God. That you will not miss your way. That's what I mean. If you can be humble, there's nothing going in your life. God will show up. Because God resists the proud, but he gives grace to who? The humble. So someone is walking around proud and pompous. Now, I know most people don't believe they're proud and pompous. It's like pride is an overconsciousness of who you are. Your right, your ego, your assets, whatever assets they are, your talents. When you are so conscious, it's called the pride of life. Pride in our achievement and possession. Yeah? Grace cannot abound in your life. It's the word of God. I'm not telling you. Let's go there. James chapter 4. James 4. Open your Bible to James chapter 4. The book of James. James was the pastor of the Jerusalem church. This James was the brother of Jesus Christ. Our brother. He was the pastor of Jerusalem church. He was writing to believers, not unbelievers. James chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Let's have someone who has not read in this sermon. James chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Now, I'm just laying the foundation for this topic, spiritual warfare. Many times people want a job to start fighting demons, but they don't have foundation. When you don't have foundation, your fight will just be in vain. You'll be back to the same point. You have to get the foundation right. Then you can fight successfully. Amen? James 4, yes. Have you read? Okay, I'll come back to you. Okay. James chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Tell us which version, please.
I'm reading the New Living Translation.
New Living Translation, thank you. Go on.
And he gives grace generously, as the scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
Amen. Keep going. Is that verse 7?
Yeah. I will go to the verse 7.
Yes.
So humble yourself before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Flee from you. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much, my dear sister. How can you successfully resist the devil? Yes, someone help me. What's the condition? You just read it in verse 7. There's a condition that will help you successfully to resist what? The devil. What is it? It's there in your Bible. Check it. What?
Submit to God.
Submit to God. Yeah. Another version said what? Humble. Am I reading the Bible or I'm just telling you from my head? If I want to successfully resist the devil in any part of my life, yeah? I can't do it in my power. I need God to help me. And because I need God to help me, the first step I need to do is what?
Humble myself.
And you can see from the two versions that humility is necessary for submission. You will never truly submit yourself to God until what? Until what?
Until you humble yourself.
Now, I'm not
on good foundation to begin to resist the devil. Because to resist the devil, I need grace. Say with me, say to resist the devil successfully, my power is not enough. I need grace. So here in the Bible, the principle of grace is revealed. Yeah, that God resists the proud, but he gives grace, what? To the humble. Amen? I want us just to reflect there. This is not part of my message, but it has come up because the Holy Spirit, you know, speaking it. You know, sometimes one thing that is compromising is the promotion of yourself. You are too busy promoting who you are, marketing yourself. It's a spiritual destruction. When I'm just too conscious of myself, I look, I project how people see me. I can't fight this spiritual battle well. Because the devil is a gateway. Yeah? But when I lay myself down, yeah? It helps me to see more clearly what God is saying, what God is doing, and I can more easily cooperate with him. Then the devil is on the wrong foot. Amen? I get to get my footing right if I'm going to resist the devil successfully. Otherwise, I'll be holding on to something that he can use to get me. Praise the Lord. So, I will just come back to the message that the one you are actively contending with is, they are called what? Principality. You know what they are trying to do, really? I had this statement coming up when I was sleeping. So I'm meditating towards someone. It's like, everything is influence. You can write something to write that if you want to write. Everything is influence, and influence is everything. Everything is what? Influence. And influence is anything that can influence you has power over your life. And everything you are doing is influencing others positively or negatively. No principality can dominate you, yeah, until they are able to influence you. Hello? The devil cannot control you until he has influence in your life. Then everything you are doing, yeah, is influence on other people, whether for good or for evil. You need to be conscious of that. Everything is influence. So if I'm going to have victory over the devil, I need to ask myself, what things in my life have I opened the door for to influence me? Because that could also be a gateway for the principality to enter. Are you with me? If you're trying to solve a problem, a spiritual problem without God. Because probably you don't even know it's a spiritual problem. You think, I can just show the person that, you know, I'm formidable. How can you be fighting a spiritual battle? Yeah? With your what do you call this? Your fist. You think you can punch the devil? He's a spirit. Amen? If you try to punch the devil physically, your hands will go through. No impact. Effort, no impact. Amen? So, to resist the devil, I have to control the influences I am permitting in my life. It's there. That's the principle. The devil does not have the right, yeah, to come and dominate you just like that. No, they are principles. It doesn't have infinite right to operate in your life. It doesn't. Except you have given your life completely to him. Yeah? You know that people call Satanists. They have invited the devil to come in and have his way. Can you invite a beast to come and have his way? Yeah? But if you have not actively invited the devil to come in, the only other way we get in is that he has some access routes. Yeah? And I will use your language. Your language is influence. There's an influence you are permitting into your life that looks innocent, but it's opening a door for the devil. Amen? And that's why one of the steps to your to winning your spiritual battle is your consecration. You know? What's consecration? Someone help me. What's consecration? What is consecration? Check your dictionary if you don't know it. Consecration.
To dedicate yourself fully.
Yes. I like it. Yes, any other definition of consecration? Come on. One more person. Consecration, what does it mean? Check your group. Check your phone. See all those phones there, they're looking beautiful. What's their value? Consecration. Come on, someone help me. Who is too quiet? Set apart. Yes. I like it.
Abstinence from evil.
Yes. So, you see, your consecration is already part of the victory. When you set yourself apart from some things that are corrupting, yeah, it means that because all those things are corrupting, devil can come in. By just setting yourself apart, you've solved half of your spiritual problems. I didn't say all. Well, at least half. You see, if you are playing around in the domain of the devil, he can come in. Yeah? But when you set yourself apart and say, no, that looks, you know, that looks corrupting. That looks, you know, you just say, no, I'm not going to do that because I'm giving more attention to God. Like you said, you are dedicating yourself more to God. Dedication is attention. Yeah? Some things will not come here. And because you are giving attention to God, that means that usually when you are giving attention to God, you find out that you are praying more. You find out that you are reading the Bible more. You find that you are going to church more. There are some problems that are because you are in the place of attention. Remember I told you to overcome Satan, you need God. Say that again. Say to overcome Satan, I need God. And the way God takes his place is my attention to him. So when I set myself apart from what is corrupting in the world and I give more attention to God, I'm already overcoming. I didn't say 100%, but you're on the way. But when I'm playing in corruption zone, there are many things in your life that look innocent, but they are corrupting. And if you are truly born again, your spirit will be telling you. You are playing in a place where the devil can. You see, you can't play in the devil's domain and expect to win him. Hallelujah. Like I said, that was not part of my message, but that's what the Holy Spirit wants to say. At that moment. Praise the Lord. Let me see how we are doing with time. We're going to have a part two of this. So the point I really want to make there is that we're not wrestling flesh and blood. Sometimes there are people in your life who are making your life difficult. We all have our share. Some of us have an unfair share. As there are some people here, even seated here or standing. Yeah, you think you're having an unfair share of difficulty from people. But sometimes the problem people give you is not only them. They are also under influence. Please understand me. You know, like there's something that they say in this country, they call it DUI. What is DUI? Or is it? No. Yes, DUI. Am I right? I've seen it before. That mean what? Under influence. There are many people in this world. Their life is being driven under influence. It may not show on their face, but they are under influence. And some of the problems that are causing you is because they are what? Under influence of principal. You see, if I said demons now, they look very, you know, degree. When I say principal, it looks nicer. The principal has found a way in their life. They are not insane. Please understand me. They are not insane. They are not possessed. Yeah, but they are under influence. So some of the problems they are causing you is not just them. It's not just because they are a bad person. Yeah, but they are under influence. Some of them are innocently, but spiritually speaking, there's no innocently under influence. But physically speaking, there could be. Like you see them, oh, the person is trying their best. They're a good person. But spiritually, yeah, they opened a door, or they were playing. They lacked consecration. They lacked dedication. They lacked being set out. They messed around with something that was corrupting. Then the influence entered. Now, when the influence enters their life, it never stays.
That influence that person will try to influence you. It's like you're in a car for someone who is under influence of alcohol and they are driving you. Are you safe? Let me ask the young person. Someone is under influence of alcohol now and they are driving you and you know, what will you do?
Not go.
You will not go. What if you're already in the car and the doors are locked? When I say under influence, I mean the alcohol is controlling them. Yes? What will you do? You're in the car, you're in the motorway, and then the person just shared with you that, oh, by the way, I had I don't know how many pints, you know, before starting journey. And you're in the car. The central door, central lock is on. Even if it's not locked, you're on 70 miles per hour. What are you going to do? You're going to what? Pray, yeah. Is there any physical thing? Because we're describing a physical problem. Is there any physical thing you could do? Yes, tell me that again.
I'll jump out.
You will jump out at 70 miles per hour. But it's an option. It's an option. You can choose how you want to. Yeah, any other one? Yeah, but that's practical. Yes, think. What can you do? Yes, you pray. Yes, what else can you do? What physical? What? Within your capacity physically, what could you do? What?
Take the wheel.
Okay. Yes, it's a valid answer. Yes, any other one? You just demand. And if your demand is not working, what else will you do? Or you probably say that you need a wee. Go to the services and never appear again. Amen. Amen. But that, what I just described to you, is happening in real life. There are some people in your life that are, they are under influence. And you're in their car. Yeah? So, their influence is affecting you. And you still need a way out. I saw someone who just, I'll give him a dirty slap. maybe they are saying that they can activate for at least 5 minutes that I can get out. I'm not saying you should do that, okay? The best thing you should do is make sure you are not in that car. Ascertain before you enter that they are not under influence. You can. It is within your capacity. Yeah? Praise the Lord. I just want to really try to establish to you today that there are evil spirits in our world. I'm not talking about possession. That is advanced. I'm talking about under influence. Yeah? And you have to be alert spiritually. So you don't contract. Is it contract? Is it when people contract a disease? Are they contracting it? It's like a contract, yeah? You have to be careful that you don't contract the influence in their lives into your life. It can affect you. There are people who are sick that their sickness is caused by a principality. It's in the Bible. There was someone that said he was deaf and dumb because he was being possessed by a deaf and dumb spirit. Now remember, I told you that they are the minions, which are, you know, the big numbers, but they have bosses. So if you have a principality of deaf and dumb, you can have many demons under them. That's why people can contract it. You can go to someone with under influence and leave them with a piece of what they have. But you don't want to. Amen? You don't want to. You can take all the physical precautions and be hygienic, but you can contract it spiritually. Amen? Say, I refuse to be under the influence of principalities. And if there's any principality influencing or dominating me now, I refuse your power and I break it in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. And like I said, I've not really gone deep, but it's okay. I just tried to round up in 5 minutes, but we'll continue 2 weeks time. We are in spiritual warfare. The only way we can win this warfare is to fight with spiritual weapons. The weapons are listed there. I will take them. I'll take them one by one and explain them in my next sermons. But the Bible says that though we are in the flesh, we are not fighting against humans. Well, in a sense, we are fighting them, but it's just like it's not physical weapons. Yeah? The real enemy, yeah, is bigger than the human enemy. There are human enemies. There are people who don't like you, unfortunately. Yeah? And possibly there are people you don't like. But I know that because you are a believer, even the people you don't like, you're not trying to harm them. You just don't like what they do. But there are people who don't like you and want to what? Harm you. Why should you be like that? Do you know why you should be like that? Why can't the world just be a nice place with everybody nice and just obeying the laws? Why do people have to be violent? Have you ever thought about it? I'm talking to a young person. Why? Have you ever wondered why some people just have to be evil? Yeah? Why can't we all just have a nice world? The reason is because there's principality. What's the reason? Prince. So anybody who doesn't submit to God has opened the door for a principality to influence them. And usually principality, they don't ask for permission. They just go to any open door. A principality does not need what? Your permission to influence you. But it just needs an open door. Just, oh, this door is open. Okay. So what I want to leave us this service today is that the first victory in your spiritual warfare is your consecration. Because your consecration is an act of humility. When you set yourself apart from the corrupting influences of the world and you begin to give more attention to God and deny yourself of that which is not necessary. Yeah? It's an act of humility. And grace flows in. But every time you are investing in those things that service your pride, let me just repeat that. Every time you are investing in those things that service your pride, you are losing consecration. People may say, oh, I like you. You look nice. Oh, did you just get this one? Oh, did you just get that one? Yeah, and you're feeling good. You have your reward in the flesh. But spiritually, your consecration is backward. Because those things have a tendency to distract you from the real deal. But as I give more attention to God and to his word, I'm telling you, you already solve half of your spiritual problems. I'm saying half. And I was saying last Sunday or two Sundays, I said, just the fact that you're in church on a Sunday, you decide not to stay at home, you may be having tired, you know, decide not to mess about, you came to hear the word of God. It's an act of humility too. And there's something it's doing for you. Like the things may not add up and you may not be perfect in all what you want, but you are solving some problems just by you are in church. You are hearing the word of God. Yeah? You are with the people of God. There's anointing there. The only time you come to church, yeah? Your life advances spiritually. Yeah? Even if you come to church and you're under influence of a principality, if you are under the word of God, that influence diminishes. I know you may pick it up when you leave, but it's diminished. And if you stay with what you have heard, it must diminish. Amen? If you come to church, you have a problem in your life, and when we finish sermon, you pray about it, there's a greater power for that prayer to be answered because you have come. It's an act of submission. Hallelujah. So how do I overcome the devil? He says, submit yourself to God. Then you are ready to begin to resist what? The devil. If there's something that God is telling you to do, or God has been telling you to do, because if you are born again, the Holy Spirit of God is in you, in your spirit. He may be giving you some simple instructions. Maybe you should flip back, think, you know, when we leave here, think about, is there something, just ask yourself a question, is there anything that God has told me to do or told me not to do? Is there anything that the Holy Spirit has said, don't do that, and I'm still doing? Is there anything the Holy Spirit has said, do it, and I've not done it? Those can be doors that you are opening for influence of principalities. Let's rise up and pray. We'll have to stop it there for time. Let's stop it there. We'll continue next time. So, let's rise up. We're going to talk to God. Like I said, we didn't enter spiritual warfare by choice. We don't have any choice because the adversary is not negotiating. is totally committed to cause corruption and ruin for anybody, whether they are Christian or not Christian, it doesn't matter. He's an advance. He's lost his battle. He's been damned and condemned. He has no redemption, so he wants to take everyone down with him. But the solution is to submit to God. And I said today, your submission to God starts from your consecration. And your consecration means being set apart, means cutting off some excesses and corrupting influence from your life. Because they will distract you. They must, because they are servicing your pride and your ego. When you cut them off, you are able to humble yourself. That when I humble myself, it means I mean business with you. That's what it says to God. I mean business. And then his power begins to flow more in your life. In fact, it begins to open your eyes to what you should see. It begins to show you what you can do differently that will give you more victory. Of course, there are much more we can talk about warfare, but this is a starting point. The foundation must be right. I need grace. So when you say, I need grace, pray to God and say, Lord, I need your grace. But I understand that to function in grace, I need to humble myself. I cannot continue to invest in servicing my pride. It's taking you backwards. Which it must take you, because that's what made Lucifer to fall. It was his pride. So every time I keep investing in servicing my pride, I tell you, you're going backwards spiritually. But I lay down, just as I am. No, it's not about how I market myself. It's not about how I, make myself feel good and feel special. No. I lay down, Lord. It's just me and you. I'm not the owner. You are the owner. You are praying. Talk to God. You are the owner of my life. They just sink in. And you can't impress God. You can only please him by doing his will. You can't. Don't try to impress him. You're wasting your time. But you can do his will, and that will please him. So I humble myself before you. Without you, I am nothing. I need you. I need you. And I cannot just say I need you. When I say I need you, I must give you my attention. I must set myself apart. I must cut off corrupting influence. I must cut off excesses. And begin to give you more of my attention. So that your power can flow in my life. You know, there's some problems that may want to show up in your life that long before they will ever happen, you will have prepared. That if they show up, it will not in any way shake you. You will just be laughing because you are ready. Lord, I say, help me. As I give more attention to your word, to prayer, to fellowship, to walking in humility and obedience. Thank you, Lord, because your grace will flow and I will be able to successfully resist the devil. You know why the devil showed up? He came to steal. The devil or the principalities, you know their job in your life? They came to what? To steal and what? To kill and what? To destroy. He's not just killing your life. Killing what is good in you. You know, some of them are alive, but everything good in them has been killed. That's the job of the devil. But Jesus has come that you have what? Life. You have it abundantly. That life is a life of righteousness. It's a life of victory over Satan. It's a life that brings glory to the Father. That's the life you want. Begin to declare, I say, I resist you, Satan. In the name of Jesus, every principality, you have to say for yourself, every principality having influence over my life now, I reject you. In the name of Jesus, you must say it. Every principality, every evil power sitting over my life, sometimes they're not sitting over you personally, they're sitting over your home. Sometimes they're sitting over your health. Sometimes they're sitting over your finances. Every evil power sitting over my home, I rebuke you, I resist you. Say, take your hands off. You must say it. In the name of Jesus, every principality, evil power sitting over my health or my body, I resist you in the name of Jesus. I command you, take your hands off me. I belong to Jesus. That's consecration. Take your hands off in the name of Jesus Christ. Every principality sitting over my home, over my marriage, nobody's going to fight this spiritual fight for you if you don't stand for it. I resist you in the name of Jesus. Take your hands off my home. Take your hands off my marriage in the name of Jesus. Sometimes in some family, there's a pattern. You know, there's an evil pattern. Something happens and the next person, it happens to them. The next person, it happens to them. It's not ordinary. It's the work of a principality. Every principality
sitting over my family, over my relatives, causing an evil pattern to recur. I resist you in the name of Jesus. I command you, take your hands off me. Because Jesus has redeemed me by his blood. And I leave no door open for you. In the name of Jesus. Pray one more prayer and then we will finish. Pray. I say, Lord, open my eyes to see any area in which I'm lacking consecration. Pray that prayer. It's a good prayer. Lord, any part of my life that I'm lacking consecration, I'm allowing excesses of worldliness and carnality to service my pride. Any area. Open my eyes. I want to know. Because once I know it, of course, the promise you're making to God that when he shows you, you will cut it off. Bible says, if it's a causing your offense, cut it off. So Lord, open my eyes. Any aspect I'm lacking consecration, I'm aligned, I'm playing messing around and opening doors for principalities. I want to see that this is where the problem is. And my promise to you as you open my eyes is that I will cut it off. I will cut it off. I'll cut it off. So that there's no room for the devil. To you be glory. Father, as we round up this sermon, we want to say that we stand in the victory of Jesus Christ. We know it's not your will that the devil or the force of darkness, the evil spirits in this world, as many as they are, it's not your will for them to dominate us. It's never your will. The reason why you come is so that we can have life and have it abundantly. So, Father, we pray, let your will be done in our lives. Let this devil and all his minions be defeated in our lives. Everywhere they showed up, let their power be broken in the name of Jesus Christ. We choose to enter the victory, the freedom that is in Christ. We claim it over our lives. We claim it over our homes. We claim it over our jobs, our finances. We claim it over our marriages. We claim it over our families. And we claim it over this church. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We have the victory. In Jesus' name. Say, I have the victory. In Jesus' name. Let's give you some word. It is not the time to give up. Don't buy into that lie of the devil. If you give up, the only person that will be laughing is Satan. There's something important and dear to you. You should fight for it until you enter the victory. It may be tough sometimes, but persevere in fighting for what is precious. And you enter the victory. Don't give up on it. Don't give in on it. Don't leave open a wide door for Satan. Says the Spirit of the Lord. Amen.